And we're going to go ahead and turn our service over to Dr. Jack.
Walk, walk, walk.
Hey, Seth. Before you bring up my sermon, bring up that last slide. Can you see that? Okay, just hold that up there. So, we're talking about Victory Day, Church of Victory. Most new believers and older believers, you guys, take that as far as you want, struggle with knowing how to overcome their problems. Right? Now, you recognize what you just sang? What's going to dissolve like snow? How's that going to happen? But before that happens, what's going to happen here? Life's going to get so much worse than you currently know it. Okay?
Do you got that in your heads? So stop whining. God's telling you ahead of time, if you think it's bad now, it's going to get a whole lot worse. Stop trying to hold on to the old ways, and we got to hold on to God. That's just a mini sermon right there. Now you can go on with my sermon notes. Okay. I was just hilarious. I was looking at that going, oh, yeah, you know? See, there's this idea that if I'm a Christian, God's just going to so bless me, I'm not going to have problems. Wrong. Okay? In fact, if you are in Christ, and if you are living right in Christ, you are probably going to have more problems than if you were just not, you know, sort of like a mediocre Christian. Because Satan doesn't need to bother you. You're already defeated. So what we're talking about today is how you can know that you know that God is working on your side to help you overcome your temptations, your struggles, your hurts, your hang-ups. I think we have a class that teaches that on a regular basis. And that God's going to be doing this. Now, I'm going to make an assumption that most of you are believers. Not everybody, but most of you are. Got to be careful of that assumption. The other assumption is that everybody in here is a dirty, rotten sinner. Nobody's better than anybody else. Nobody's worse than anybody else. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And in the midst of all that, God's grace comes in. Boom. And there's things that God wants to do in your life. So what we're picking up is I want to teach you about how temptation works, and then I want to teach you how to overcome temptation. All right? So let's go to a passage that you ought to know. Okay? You don't have to read far in your Bible. Genesis chapter, what is it, 3 or 1?
3.
Okay. Come out. I got to do something. You know, okay. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And it's the story of how Adam and Eve got tempted. Okay? And so now the serpent was more crafty than all the other beasts of the field and the Lord God that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman. Getting a lot of trouble there. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So that when the woman saw tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And there lies all our problems. Up to a point, then we perfect them. Let's pray. Hey, Father, as we talk about this stuff today, I just work in us, would you please? We just need your spirit to teach us, your word to teach us, that we begin to align more and more with the spirit, more and more with the wisdom of the word, because it's showing us how you want us to live and the best way to live. Father, that we will begin to deal with things in our lives that we've been ignoring so that we have more victory in Christ and that you are glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we begin looking at this and where sin, how sin works, it begins, first of all, there's three basic parts to it. There's a wrong desire within all of us. Okay, a wrong desire. Desire is not sin. Okay? Desire is not sin. We need our passions to create. Okay? It's just Satan takes our passions and twists them. We'll talk more about that. Desire to sin, when it's not, desire is sin, excuse me, when it's not submitted to the Lordship of Christ. So you're going to have all kinds of desires pop up. You have not yet sinned. It's not what you've done with it next that gets you in trouble. When I submit it to Christ, when I allow him to temper it and deal with it and begin to grow on me, then I'm good. So the scripture says in James 1, let no one say when he is tempted that I'm being tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Each person is tempted and is lured and enticed by what? Whose desires? Your own. Okay? Your own. The major source of temptation lives within me. Okay? I take it with me wherever I go. Now, the fun thing is, what tempts you does not necessarily tempt me. Okay? You cannot tempt me with broccoli. Huh? Yes, you can tempt me with a sailboat. Did you know you cannot tempt my wife with a sailboat? You see? Yep, I've got mine. And none of those are, get that, none of those are sinful in and of themselves. Just what you do with them. So, wrongful desire. Secondly, when I begin to doubt God's word. And so, you have this. Satan comes into her and says, did God really say that? Nah, come on. That's not what he meant. How many of you have done that to God's word? You see God's word and you see what it says and you start looking for other scriptures to disprove it. God didn't really say, I have to love them. God didn't say, I have to forgive them. God didn't say that I have to be like somebody else. You know, I can get to be me. I get to be free. I get to make my own decisions in life. And so much of what we believe that's been infused by our culture has led us to sin against God because we're not allowing the Word of God to infuse us. And there are scripture verses that you fight against because you don't want to change your life. Or you do the good old Baptist thing, you say, well, God understands. That's like sort of saying, well, Lord bless your heart. Uh-huh. There's a kind of ways that can be. So, because when Satan lies to us, they're so believable. He makes it sound so good. So, and our world does that. Oh, come on and join us. You want to be like us? Nobody wants to stand out and be weird. If you don't join us, and they're going to think that you're one of those, you know, Christian kinds of fanatics, and you don't want to be a fanatic, go ahead and be a Christian, just don't be that bad. Or if you will, that good. Just slow it down. Just slow it down. Mediocrity is a good thing within the world. Have your religion, that's okay, but accept all other religions. have your lifestyle. Yes, but accept all other lifestyles as being equally good. And he begins just to throw in lies and lies and lies. Why? Because the more we buy into his lies, the farther and farther we get from the power of God, and we no longer can effectively change our world. So we believe the deception. We doubt the word. We believe the deception. It's no big deal. I believe Satan's lie. So if you go back to that passage, go back to the Genesis passage, and you begin to see how this works. So there's God, Satan questioning, did God actually say? And the woman comes back and said, but God did say. She did a good job. Okay, and they go to the next slide. But then Satan comes back, he says, uh-uh. Yet he said, because she said, we'll die in that day. And Satan goes, you will not surely die. Well, in a way, he was right. Because the moment you sin, you still live. What happens is your spiritual part of you absolutely dies. He just left out the rest of the information. But she, oh no, I won't, I'll still live. I'm good. And then, and this is the big, and this is the desire part. When she saw the tree was good for you, and it was a delight to the eyes, something attracted her. Okay? And I don't think it was just the quality of whatever kind of fruit it was. All right? A desire, there was a desire to make you wise, delight to the eye, and boom, sin happens. So what does God want me to do? Okay? Or what does God want to do in my life? So 1 Corinthians, and this is our key passage, 1 Corinthians 10, says, no temptation has overtaken you. I want to do it in the way I memorize it. I got to look at it. No temptation has overtaken you, but common to man. And God is faithful. So there's that which is common, but God's faithfulness never goes away. It's always there. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now, I have had discussions with God about that. Because I'm going, oh, God, I'm getting whooped. Well, no, you have the ability. You're just not willing to act on it. And I'm going, but no, God, I want you to take the desire totally away from me. And God says, no, I won't take away your free will. I will help you. I will be over every problem that you're in. I'll be over every struggle that you're in. I'll be over everything that is messing you up. But you still have to be the one that chooses. So God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, and here's the key, he will provide a way of escape that you will be able to endure. It means to stand up under the pressure. Okay? In every temptation, there you can count on it. There is a way out. All right? Now, is that true or false?
True.
No, I'm going to try. Is that true or false? No, it's true. That's what I picked up on. I didn't hear a whole lot of truths there. In every temptation, God is on your side. In every temptation, he's going to provide a way out. But you've got to believe it in the depth of your very soul. That there's nothing you're going through, that there's not a way out. We just don't want to take the way. If it's an addiction, the way is to get help. And you have to, the first step is you have to admit you've got a problem. All right? And so those of you that don't, hey, well, I'm not an alcoholic, and I'm not a druggie, and I don't have a sex addiction, so I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, but you've got other addictions. And nothing's going to change until you admit you have a problem. Which should be, the thing is, for a believer, that ought to be the easiest thing in the world for us to do. Because we've already admitted what? I am an absolute sinner. Does that mean you have problems?
Yes.
I'm going to try that again. Does that mean you have problems?
Yes.
Your problems are pervasive? Then why can't you stand up and say, I've got a problem?
I have a problem.
Generally, I am the problem for her. But anyway, damn. We've got to be able to say out loud, no, I'm struggling with this. Now, what you're struggling with, I probably am not struggling with. Although, we'll learn soon. Let me move on. I'll add to that. When we believe the lie Satan speaks in our lives, he wins, we get defeated. I mean, so there's that balance between what God says and what Satan and the world says over and over again. So today I want you to be able to speak. I want to give you power and words to speak to God or to Satan's lies so that you can overcome him and live victorious in Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13, according to that, what is true about every temptation that you face? What's true about it? They're common. Everybody struggles with them. So some of you are thinking, well, God's picking on me. No more than anybody else. And it isn't God. Remember, God doesn't tempt you to sin. What can give you victory when you're tempted? What gives victory when you're tempted? Yeah, God. Yeah, you can say it with me. God. Yeah, uh-huh. I don't want ever for you to question. That ought to just be automatic. God is my victory. God is my victory. I'm going to rely on the Spirit. I'm going to trust that's where my faith is going. God is my victory. But if you're like me, I'd say, okay, God, take it. Yeah. We'll get there in a minute. And what does God promise to do for you in the midst of every temptation?
A
way out. Always. Always a way out. Always a way out. So, what are the primary kinds of temptations? Let's get used to that. And it was up there also in our Genesis passage. But John says it this way. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we could just have a Bible study right there. If I love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in me. The things of the world and the things of God do not mix. But Christians are madly trying to find a way to get them to. For the more you involve yourself in the things of the world, the less sense the things of God make. Because you have to begin sacrificing your beliefs to live that fully in the world. And that's why being a believer is so difficult, because the temptation to live in the world and to act like the world and be like the world is so great. So here they are, the three major ones. Primary temptations. First of all, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Exactly what Eve went through. Exactly. Every temptation you have is going to mix those three. Why do you think that in all ads that it has to have sex in it? Well, if I want to charge you a buku amount of money, don't you think you ought to be getting something out of it? So it will make you sexy. Everything you buy is going to make you sexy. Some of you need to be buying a lot more. Just telling you. Well, I mean, that's the theory. If I do this, I think one of the greatest commercials out right now is where they're saying that football leads you to eat food. It's a DoorDash commercial. You know, hashtag, see, there's food. And they start talking about players who have names that are food. And they were trying to get you to see how it all connects. Anyway, I'll move on. It's there. Now, so in this, So we have these lusts in us, and everybody has them. It's a part of our sin nature. Remember, we're supposed to take off our old nature, put on Christ. Putting on Christ is a daily activity that I do. So God's plan for victoriously overcoming Satan is really simple. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is what?
Faithful.
Again, understand the faithfulness of God. Anything you're going through, God wants to help you through it. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Okay? Now, if you're like me, I'm still saying, but God, I could do a little bit more guarding on my side. Because what I don't want is any temptation at all. I want to be able to look at a cookie and say, nope, don't want it. There are very few cookies that aren't worth eating. Let me just tell you. I want to walk by a Baskin Robbins and not just want to go in. See, I've trained myself well. So in every temptation, there it has three parts. Every temptation has three parts. There's what Satan does. There's what God does. And there's what I do. Every temptation has three parts. What Satan's trying to do to me, what God's trying to bring about in me and strengthen me with, and then I'm a player. I choose. How am I going to respond in this? I'll have another cookie, thank you. And it's so simple. So what we want to do, if we're going to look at being victorious, is we want to begin by looking at some simple things to apply. And number one is very simple. That begins with plan for the next time. Put together a plan for the next time that you're going to be tempted. Take whatever weakness it is that you're struggling with and know there's going to be a next time. What by that is something's going to happen. You're going to see something. You're going to smell something. You're going to be doing something. And automatic, this desire pops up. What are you going to do with it? What's your plan?
I don't know. Generally, I just give in to it.
No, put together a plan. Wise man, Proverbs says, the wise man looks ahead, the fool attempts to fool himself and won't face facts. If you don't wake up to the fact that you have things in you that are destructive to you, destructive to other people, that you need to begin changing, if you don't wake up to this, it's going to constantly defeat you and take you away from a vitality of your life with Christ. Proverbs 4 says, plan what? Carefully what you do. Avoid evil. Walk straight ahead. I mean, part of the best plan that you have is to get on the right path and stay on that doggone sucker. Don't step this way. Don't step this way. You have to decide ahead of time what kind of Christian you want to be. What kind of man do you want to be? What kind of woman do you want to be? What kind of student do you want to be? You have to determine before it ever happens the person that I want to be in Christ and get it so solid in your mind that when you see the temptation, you're going to say, nope, I want to be this person. Don't want to be that person. So you need to ask yourself some questions. Number one, when am I most tempted? Your temptation has a regular pattern. When are you most tempted? What temporary benefit do you get? Oh, no, wrong one. When am I tempted? Where am I most tempted? When and where? If you have problems with going to a particular bar, don't go down that street. If you have problems shopping too much, destroy your phone. I can't live without a phone! You can't live with it either if it's not disciplined. Now, those of you who say, well, I never buy anything online. I never buy anything in a store unless I have to. Okay? It's just so easy now. Where are you most tempted? When and where? Don't go there. Okay? Don't go there. Take away the temptation. I gotta move on. Who is with me when I am most tempted? Who is with me? Is there a particular people that I'm with? Which means I have to stop hanging around them. What temporary benefit do I get if I give in? Can I just tell you, my wife drives me absolutely bonkers. No, she's a good woman. God put her in my life because I need it. But she will tell me, and I just want to rain all over her parade when she tells me, you know, the second bite's going to taste just like the first one. And I said, and I bet the 10th one will too. But her point is, if you would just slow down and enjoy the first one, you don't need to eat another cookie. Whoever wants to eat just one cookie? That's like saying, I only want one scoop of ice cream. Really? Yeah, you know where my sins are. So what's the benefit I get out of it, though? In that moment, I feel good. If I was depressed in that moment, I don't think about my depression. If I'm anxious in that moment, I don't think about my depression. Well, how do I feel right after I'm tempted? Just as bad, if not worse. So I got to do it again. You see, I got to constantly be doing this because the moment I stop, I'm going to go right back to where I was feeling. And now I'm really depending upon something else to give me peace and joy, and it's not working. And I'm stuck in a vicious cycle. So what I want to do then is plan to avoid those situations. Put it into your plan. So you got to pick one sin out at a time, one temptation out at a time, and say, okay, God, let me see how I do this. What do I need to change in my life so I don't go there? Proverbs, by the way, even says this. Guard your hearts above all else. It determines the course of your life. If you don't have a plan, if you're not seeking to guard yourself, you're going to fall for it. And it's going to destroy you. You also need to change your prayer life. Matthew 6. Pray like this, Jesus says, our Father who art in heaven, yay! May your name be kept what? Hallowed be your name really means, Father, help me keep your name holy in me. How often are you talking to God about that? How often are you talking about the holiness of God and how you're representing the holiness of God? Change the way that you pray. And yet, do not lead us into temptation. By the way, did you know you can protect yourself from more problems that you get into that you don't have to go through simply by saying, God, protect me? Amen. If you're counting on God, if you're holding on to God, you're praying about whatever it is you're struggling with, hey, God, protect me. Don't take it away, God. Protect me from it. There are things that you're going through that you don't have to simply because you're not in power or using the power of the Holy Spirit within you, allowing Him to empower you. But rescue us. Rescue us. By the way, just because you failed and you gave in to the temptation doesn't mean that God gave up on you. I think some of you really need to hear that. God does not give up on you. Each day, keep His name holy. Realize that God wants to strengthen you when you're tempted, and God rescues us when we fail, but God's got a plan. But I got to change the way that I pray. And Jesus said to His disciples, keep watch and what? Pray. So that you not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So we already know we have weaknesses. The way we overcome is we're constantly watching and praying. So understand this. 5-minute, 10, 15-minute prayer in the morning is not enough to get you through the day. So those of you that have quiet times, fantastic. Keep it up. Ain't enough. Say, well, Jack, how much do I need? How bad are your problems? The worse your problems, the more prayer life you need. Well, I'm fine. I don't need anything. Well, now you're just lying. Okay. Hebrews 4. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There we will receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we what? Need it most. Where does God want you? In his throne room. How do you get to his throne room? Constantly being in prayer. Constantly being in prayer. Well, Jack, how can I live my life and be praying all the time? Paul says actually pray without ceasing. And it's more than just an attitude of prayer. I hear people talk about this attitude of prayer. I'm talking to God all the time. You're not talking about him the things that you need to be talking with him about. Hey, God, see that sin there? I need to stay away from that. Oh, no, I'm being tempted now. God, I need, you know, I mean, you need to be that verbal in your life. So change the way that you pray to match the struggles and the challenges of your life. Most of us, that means that we need to be spending much more time in prayer than we currently are. Okay? Don't do socially appropriate prayers. Do depth prayer. Do enriched prayer. Do focused prayer in your relationship with God. Now, practice hiding God's word in your heart. The more you know your Bible. Now, some of you just drive me crazy. When I talk about hiding God's word in your heart, I'm not saying, well, I read the Bible. In any temptation, can you bring up a scripture verse of a God's promise about what he wants you to do? How can a young man keep his way pure? By obeying the word. And then the response, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. The Bible gives you the question, it gives you the answer, and then you see the result. If you want to stay pure, you've got to obey the word. In different translations it says, I hide the word within me. I have hidden your word in my heart. That means I've memorized it. I can bring it up anytime I need it. So you need to find scripture verses that match what you need concerning your particular brand of temptation and begin memorizing it. So when that comes up, you can just begin quoting the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is what Jesus used to defeat Satan. If Jesus had to do it, we need to do it. And you need to be quoting that word back to Satan. Say, well, Jack, I'm not really good at memorizing scripture. Get over it. That just means you need to spend more time. Well, Jack, that would be a lot of time. And if you were spending that much time memorizing scripture and studying the word, would you be sinning less? As long as I can eat my cookies at the same time I'm memorizing. No. But hiding the word in your heart. There's an absolute connection between prayer, the word in you, and victory over sin. Understand that. There is an absolute connection. Not correlation, connection. The more I'm praying, the more I'm in the word, the more the word is in me and I'm obeying the word, the more victory I'm going to have in my life. You can do this. Oh, but I would have to change. I mean, I like the word, but I mean, who wants to be that fanatical and be in the word that much? Or maybe just be honest. Well, no, Jack, you see, really, I'm just lazy and I don't want to. Okay. Can we just sort of stand back and watch you destroy yourself? No, 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 you're supposed to be my prayer partner. Only if you do your job. Only if you do your job. Why should I allow you to be lazy and me work harder for you? Say, well, that's not very Christian. Yeah, I agree. Both ways. See, to have this kind of victory means I really need to take this that seriously. Now, I want you to focus on living your faith. Focus on living your faith. Now, everybody has faith. If you're in Christ, you have faith. Okay? If you're not in Christ, If you want him, he's going to give you the faith so you can have him. Over and over, the Bible talks about how faith is a gift, how grace is a gift. You don't say, well, I just don't faith enough. No, you're not doing the things that God says you to do enough. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our what? Every child of God defeats this evil world that overcomes. It's a promise. The evidence that you are a child of God is that you're victorious. Are you putting that together? Every child of God, there's a promise. Defeats the world. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Why wouldn't you defeat the world? It's like taking a nuclear bomb to a knife fight. Why wouldn't I win? We achieve this victory through our faith. See, the thing is to activate the power. I have to activate it by faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, if my focus, instead of thinking about how bad, terrible, horrible, and rotten you are, and getting all wrapped up in the negativity of whatever it is that sort of got you defeated, instead of focusing on that, what I want you to do is just begin focusing more on Jesus. Okay? All that means, if you've gone way over here and you need to get back. So stop looking at the problem, start looking at Jesus so you can come back. And the more you're struggling with something, the more you need to focus on Jesus. More, that's where that prayer life comes in. That's where the scripture comes in. That's where your praise comes in. That's where time alone with God comes in. This is just where you're just thanking God for all the things that he's doing in you. I begin more and more focusing my life on my faith by keeping my eyes on Christ. Defeating evil in this world is characteristic of those who walk in faith. Defeating the world is characteristic of those who walk in their faith. Now, for this to become a reality, you need to submit yourself to the lordship of Christ. Submit to the lordship of Christ. And this is where a lot of us struggle because we have a lot of attitude. We have a lot of self-will. Sometimes we call it stubbornness. Whatever words you want to use that actually fit who you are, what it comes down to is whatever you have, whatever you believe, whatever you think, every weakness that you have, every struggle that you have needs to be submitted to the lordship of Christ. We see, serve Lord Jesus. Some people will put that King Jesus. That means he rules in our lives. So all this stuff we're struggling with, the more I give it over and submit it under his authority, that means I'm not going to be choosing to do things that don't fit with what he wants in my life. But that means I have to deal with me. There lies the battle, huh? It's not that God's not going to stand for you. It's not that God's not going to guard your heart. It's not that God's going to be less faithful to you. It's whether or not you're going to choose to fight on God's side rather than on Satan's side. There's no in between. Every time we give in to sin, we're choosing to fight for Satan. It is a spiritual battle. Now, the word there, submit, means basically to obey. Obey yourselves, therefore, to God, or obey his word, submit. So that means avoid the wrong people, avoid the wrong places. Don't hang out with people that are going to take you down, but people that are going to build you up. Now, so what we're getting at too here, okay, is you need to, I need to, we need to inject God and more of God in any situation in which we are struggling. You with me? For there's a verse. If you don't know this one already, it's a great Bible memory verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can memorize that one. And here it is. To overcome, we begin basing everything on our relationship with God and the things of God and the character of God, which are the Word, which are our prayer, which are the power of the Holy Spirit within you, choosing the way that you are going to live in ways that glorify God and honor God. So what are you struggling with? Now, don't say it out loud necessarily. But you need to have somebody in your life that you can tell so they can be your prayer partner. You do need other believers praying for you and uplifting you. What was that program that was on, the Weak Link? Weakest Link? Yeah, Weakest Link. I'm it. I mean, everybody's a weak link. That was the fallacy. The idea is, no, I can be strong enough to do it myself. No. That's why what I really hope you take away from this is just the absolute confession. Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. What's going to be your plan to overcome what it is you're struggling with? And how are you going to allow God to change it and empower it in your life? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Help us as believers live for you. We don't have to be defeated. We can have victory over sin. Help us do it in ways that bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.